Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Is empty already. Goaltender David Quinn has pulled Blackwood for the extra attacker. Why not? Uh-oh, trouble. Barabanov lost it. Empty net goal for Colorado. Well, so much for that. 6-2 Avalanche. Empty netter. Time of this one will be 15 minutes and 11 seconds. And unfortunately, Alexander Barabanov getting the little play there. Moving to the middle. Losing on the check. And Nathan MacKinnon puts it in.
I don't know. I mean, if I'm in a major, you know, he toe picks right as Mac's about to hit him, and he lets up a little bit. And, I mean, if you look at frame by frame and slow it up, it's going to look bad, but play it live. I mean, you know, Mac doesn't have the chance to play it, that situation frame by frame. Then I don't know how Mario gets anything other than a two-minute. I mean, it was a hockey play. Dermott sliding over, he steps up, that's his guy, and they wrestle, and they said that he chased him around, and that's not true, so what are you going to do?
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? I am kind of multiple minds of that game against the Avs last night. I hate that that was a major penalty. If you look at the way that play went down, Molinsky clearly caught his skate or stuttered while he was going towards the wall. McDonald was leading with his hip. And to me, that's not a boarding call. That's an unfortunate hockey play, which I don't think is the point of a 5-minute major. To me, that was just something that happened. You want to give him 2 minutes. I think it was just because the blood was drawn. It was an unfortunate play. I thought McDonald was not doing anything that was deserving of a penalty in that instance. And it's another situation where you highlight that the NHL has a consistency problem. Same story with the NFL. I'm not trying to pick on the NHL in particular. I am just looking at a lack of consistency that I consistently see with the NHL in certain situations on certain penalties. And this was one of them. I don't think that is a 5-minute major on a boarding call, in my opinion. I think there was clearly a stutter step. McDonald cannot change his path in full speed, and that's the way the play goes down. You've got to be careful, I guess, is the ultimate lesson, but I don't think people love hockey because guys are out there being careful to make sure that something bad doesn't happen. I think for the most part, they try to play a clean, honest game. I don't think there's any sense out there that McDonald is some sort of a dirty player. I think that was just an unfortunate play and not worthy of 5 minutes and, you know, getting tossed from a game. So, you know, that's what bothers me out of that one. I understand that we are not going to come to agreement on every single play in the NHL, but I take umbrage with the lack of consistency, and I think that's a fair take. I think that if you also put yourself in that situation, you've got to be damn near perfect for the rest of the game, and the Sharks most certainly weren't. But when you go in the box for 9 minutes of that first period and you also are down 3-0, it's going to be really hard on the road at elevation when you're on your 8th road game in the last 9 games overall. You're going to have a tough time winning that game, and it also flashes back to the game against Arizona of why it was so relatively important to be able to walk away with a win in a game like that. Another game that was impacted by a call from the officials, and this is not to be me saying, oh, well, the officials are taking it from the Sharks. No, that's not something I believe in. I believe that if you want to win in the NHL or in any pro sports league, you need to be so good on any individual night that you can't let quote-unquote disagreeable officiating take away from your ability to win a game. Now, I understand that is a controversial statement to many, but we are at a point in all pro sports where when we see the plays slowed down, where we see things frame by frame, where we see everything that happened, it's often very much hard to tell how one side is going to look at it versus the other. And I often feel that if you want to make sure that is not something that impacts the game, well, you better make sure that you're just going to outright win that game regardless of what the officiating tries to do, because you know that's a wild card factor that can enter any game. It's not fair, it's not right, but it's a factor in every single game that you play in the NHL. Sometimes you're going to catch the breaks, sometimes you're not. You better make sure that all those other things that you can control are that good. And again, I don't think the Sharks played a particularly bad game. It's just that it's not just that you were down 3-0 early on. It's not just that you have to deal with a major. It's not just that you have, you know, 4 more minutes added on. To me, it's the fact that you are dealing with all of these things at the same time. Killing off 5 minutes of major penalty time, just 3 or not even 3 minutes into the game, that's going to be, it takes it out of you, especially at elevation. And then when you have to spend even more time on the kill, that is also going to take it out of you. And that's exactly what we saw in that game last night. I think the Sharks were tired, and it especially looked so after the first major, and they just couldn't get themselves back into the game. And I think that I give them a lot of credit for being able to only give up one goal against that offense at altitude with a game-changing penalty called that early in the season. But right now, that's not enough. They've got to be that much better. They've got to be that much cleaner, tighter. But it put them at an early deficit, and it took away from their ability to really force themselves upon the game and really take anything or momentum or anything of that nature into their control. It was simply not the Sharks' nights. They were down in a hole early, and they did not have the ability to climb up out of it. Now, if you look after that first period, in which they had 9 minutes of penalties, second period is 1-1, and the third period, they're outscored 2-1. And that's looking more like a 3-2 final, which I thought was more in line with the way that game was played versus the first period when the Sharks spent almost 50% of the period in the box, and we're dealing with that major, which is a very difficult situation. And like I said, can really take it out of your team. And I'm not too upset with the Sharks' overall performance in that game. You're going against a team in the Avs who were coming off a bad loss and wanting to win. They get home. They took care of business, even though it was on the second night of a back-to-back. And like I said, the Sharks have had so much time on the road as of late that there probably is a little bit of fatigue setting in. I will say that even though this didn't turn into a remarkable comeback of lore like we saw on the Sharks' last road trip, that the Sharks in both of these games on these last two road trips did not give up in any way, shape, or form. You head into that second period, Nathan MacKinnon scores, it's 4-0, and for a lot of teams and a lot of games in the Sharks earlier in the year, this would have gotten away and turned a lot uglier. Instead, you get Tomas Hertl to get a pair of goals, makes it a 4-1 game. Then you get, again, the Avs making it a 5-1, and then Hertl makes it a 5-2, and you give up an empty netter. I don't think that that's as overwhelming a final as we all think it is. I will still point to that first period as being very, very impactful in terms of the way the final score played out. And yes, you got to play all three periods. You can't just eliminate one of the three periods. But watching the way that game played out last night, I did not think the Sharks were dominated 6-2 and by the Avs that we've seen in other games this year. The Avs, listen, they got their opportunities and they took advantage of them. The Sharks did a really good job on the kill, and when all was said and done late on that 5-minute major, they did get a goal to get at least one out of those 5 minutes. And that's exactly what you have to do if you're going to be a good team in the NHL. You cannot expect to score 2, 3, 4, 5 goals on a major. That is something that rarely happens. But the Sharks were able to keep it close still after that. And you've still got a chance. If you can kill off that, you know, 5-minute major and only give up one, and I would say that is a kill in my opinion, then you've got a chance to get back into the game. But the Avalanche are such a relentless, fast, just overall capable team. It's going to be tough to get yourself back into that game, and that's where the Sharks found themselves. But still, they did keep on coming. This was not like earlier in the year where it was just too much for them to handle, and you could tell that, you know, the game was over almost as soon as it began. This was a game where the Sharks kept on fighting and gave themselves a chance. And while we don't look for moral victories, I am most definitely going to be looking for how the team reacts in certain situations compared to where they were earlier in the year. Yes, they are just coming off a road trip in which they went 3-2-1 over six games and also had another comeback against the Rangers, which made it interesting. But I'm also going to be looking at, you know, what the Sharks did on this two-game road trip. And I thought that they had two disallowed goals in the game against the Coyotes. And, you know, it was unfortunate because I thought that first one, the goalie interference, again, that's that lack of consistency from game to game and call to call on that one specifically. The second one, Duclair needed to hurry back and get on side, and that took away Granlund's incredible effort to score the game-tying goal. That, again, can't happen, and I think a message was being sent by David Quinn, most definitely in that capacity. But the Sharks right now with 21 points, find themselves at the bottom of the Pacific Division. They're a point back of Anaheim. They still are ahead of where the Chicago Blackhawks are right now, 19 points overall. And if we want to do something like the wild card standings right now, which I know people are not a huge fan of, the final teams right now are Dallas with 38 points and LA with 38 points in their respective divisions. And then you go to the wild card, you're looking at Nashville with 36 and Arizona with 32. And then you got to go back to the Sharks with 11 points. With 21 points, 11 points back. So that's where they are right now. And I didn't like that playoff line when people were talking about it. I think it was important to note that they had pulled themselves out of it. But it's also, you know, I don't think it's fair to say that the Sharks should be competing for a playoff spot right now. I think the Sharks should be competing to be the best team they can possibly be when all is said and done in that capacity. I don't know where that's going to put them at the end of the year, but that's what I want. I just want the Sharks to play a tough, hard nose style. I want them to be competitive in each and every game. And I felt that despite the, you know, external circumstances in last night's game, they did a good job of doing so. I mean, the issue with me in every single game for the Sharks becomes apparent. They are at a talent deficit compared to most of their opponents. And what they did on that road trip where they went 3-2-1 was a really, really good job of outworking their opponents. And they did the same thing when they came home against Winnipeg. And I believe Winnipeg, they had won five out of their last six games, including that win two nights ago against Colorado. Their only loss in that stretch had been to the Sharks. So, you know, I talked to Brett Hedekin about this a bit yesterday, and if we have time, I'll maybe get some of his comments here on the show before we run out of time. If not, you can check out the buildup from yesterday. But, you know, he said fatigue does set in. It's not just about the road trip and then you come home and everything's fine. He said that when you watch that game against Arizona, he said that the legs weren't sharp and the minds weren't sharp. And when you have one and not the other, you can still find a way to win a game. If both are lacking, then it's going to come back to bite you. In last night's game, I actually thought the Sharks, despite being at altitude and with their eighth road game in the last nine games overall, I thought they did have a good-looking amount of pop in their legs. And I thought they weren't playing what I would call not smart hockey. I mean, if you look at those early goals, those were, you know, seam passes that go right through everyone, that go almost backdoor on Blackwood. He's got no chance of stopping it. He's putting himself in the right position. Unless he's Superman, he's not going to be able to make those stops. I'm sure he'll tell me that he should be able to, but I didn't have a problem with those goals. You know, when you're giving up power play goals, yeah, you'd like your kill to be better, but especially on that first one when you're out there for 5 minutes against a team like Colorado, they're probably going to find a way to score. And again, the talent deficit is the reality for me overall with the Sharks. I didn't hate their game last night. It's just against a really good opponent who's going to make you suffer if you make or are put in any sort of situation, which is less than ideal. Now, coming up against the Kings, Kings are a good team this year. They have advanced a lot quicker than I had thought they would. They've obviously got a very good head coach. I respect Todd McClellan, you know, very, very much so. And I think that's going to be a tough game for the Sharks, which, by the way, both Tuesday night and Thursday night's game are going to be on ESPN Plus, which I know not everybody is enamored with their announcers, even though I am. I think ESPN has great announcers. That said, you still want your home broadcast. You can sync that up right here on the Sharks Audio Network. You're going to get Dan Ruzanowski. I'm not sure who's doing those two games, whether it's going to be Drew or Hedy or one or the other, but it's pretty easy to sync it up. Just pause your TV right at the face-off and then wait for Dan to be describing that moment. When you hear the drop, press play on your TV and you are good to go. But overall, the Sharks on these next four games, or let's just look at the rest of the month of December, you're home against LA, You are then home against the Coyotes at Vancouver, Christmas break. Then you are going to be at LA, back home against the Oilers, and then you are going to be at the Avs again to end the month of December. So you've got three at home, you've got three on the road, you've got three of your four games in December at home, which is going to be very nice because I feel like the Sharks have barely been at home this month. So now the Sharks have an opportunity now. And, you know, if they could go something like 3-3 over these final six, I'd be happy with that. Or, you know, maybe change things a little bit up and end up winning on the road against a team like LA and maybe take 4 out of 6. Or, you know, I'm just, again, I'm looking for positive performances from the Sharks. 500 would be ideal. It might be a little bit unrealistic, but let's see what happens over these last six games to close out the calendar year. Calendar year, in my opinion, where we go back to the end of the year last year with the Sharks, where they, I believe, lost their last five games and they did not get a win after that April 1st game at Arizona. And they go into the offseason. They do not have a good start to this season, 0-10-1. We go to where that winless streak ended for San Jose, and since then, it's been pretty decent. And I'm hoping that it stays that way. All right, on the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction and more. You're on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Here comes a play now, Colton on the left. Oh, a sky shot, they score! Colton made the play to the left, and Miles Wood beat Mackenzie Blackwood up high to the stick side. It bounced off the inner left post and ricocheted into the net. It's 3-0 Colorado. That was quite an even strength goal.
It's just a hard team to play when you give them three goals and you take that many minutes and 9 minutes of penalties in the first period. You're playing 11 minutes 5-on-5 hockey and you're recovering and no one's getting into a rhythm and there's no tempo. It's just it was a really strange game the way it started. And you spot them three, it's tough to come back to beat that team.
All right, welcome back. That is head coach David Quinn bringing us back in here on a Monday morning on Morning Tide. One of the next questions that he was asked about was whether or not he was proud of the way the guys stuck up for each other, even though in the first period it ended up with extra time in the box for Mario Ferraro.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've been doing that all year. This isn't a surprise, and it's hockey. And it's part of being a team and becoming a team. And, you know, like I said, it's not a surprise. We've been doing it all year.
I believe there was a situation or two early on in the year where the Sharks maybe felt they didn't have enough of response in certain situations. But since, you know, really the first few games of the year, I thought the Sharks have done a really good job of sticking up for each other. And, you know, I think also you have to be more in that mindset. Like, you sometimes have to be rattled a little bit. You've got to have somebody push you around to where you need that response. And then it becomes more of your team's DNA. Teams do not just suddenly exist, right? Like, they're not just suddenly all everybody's best friend on the same page. I understand that there is the idea that because they're all wearing the same laundry, that happens overnight. But I am sure that if you look at the relationships of the Sharks right now versus who they were previously, yeah, they're probably all, you know, very much sticking up for each other and very much more in line with each other and very much more so ready to go out there and have a really good performance and have the ability to stick up for each other and have the ability to fight for one another because they're friends more than they were, you know, 8 weeks ago, and they know each other better and they want to stick up for the guys a little bit more. Everybody wants a team to be there on day one, but unless you are a contending group where everybody knows exactly what it's going to be, that takes time. And the Sharks this year were a team that were very much defined by turnover and very much in the process of figuring everything out. So right now they find themselves being that much more of a tight-knit group than they were previously. And I think it's evidenced in those situations. And also the other aspect of this is like, well, you can't let the officiating make you feel like something you're doing is a counter to the game of hockey. Like, you have to be like, no, this is what we've all been brought up and trained to do. And in these situations, we're not just going to back off because we got what we feel was unnecessary time on it, you act like it's the normal play. You act like that's what you're supposed to be doing. Now let's get into some of Mario Ferraro's post-game sound. He was thoughtful as always. He was asked about the situation in which he stood up for Hoffman.
Hoff just took a late hit. And so I just, you know, I got in there. You know, it's something that we talk about, and, you know, it's unfortunate that I got the penalty, but that's one I'm going to give up. Just can't let that stuff happen, so I'm happy I got in there, and yeah.
And then Ferraro was asked about if he understood why he drew a double minor on that play.
He said I was, like, late. I came at him from across the ice at, I don't know, his decision is his decision, can't change it. I thought I was, like, pretty close to him. I thought he was my, like, he was the winger. I was on the point. Like, he was the guy that was right next to me. But I don't know. It is what it is now. I can't really do anything about it.
That's not the way that it looked to me. I'll put it that much. I did not see Mario Ferraro hunting anyone down. It seemed like that was the appropriate play for Ferraro in that instance. And like he said, you can't change it now. He's not going to do anything differently. And I don't think he will do anything differently in the future. I think Ferraro did what was expected of him and what he would expect his teammates to do for him in the same way. Ferraro was then asked about just how difficult the start to this game was.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of sucked. I'm not going to lie. Like you said, like I thought our PK was actually buzzing. We got a lot of cleared pucks. They really didn't have a shot on net. Just a good play there at the end. They made a good backdoor pass. It is, but you know, we take a lot of pride in our PK, and we know, you know, the numbers it haven't been good enough, but we believe that, you know, we have a better PK than what's shown. You know, I thought we did a good job for the most part. It's just unfortunate. It's you know, it's they scored. It's a good play by them. You know, it's just important that we don't let that affect us. And it was just hard because then, you know, I got in there and then I took a penalty and then we had another one. And then when I got out of the box, we had another one to kill. So it was kind of tough to gain momentum in that first period. But, you know, those are, you know, stuff's going to happen throughout the course of the year. And, you know, it's. Yeah, like I said, the penalties are unfortunate. You know, Macker's trying to play hard for, you know, down that fourth line, you know, playing physical, and we admire that kind of stuff, right? So it happens. It's unfortunate the way it went down. Hopefully next time we kill the rest of that 30 seconds and even give us more momentum.
And I think processing part of the Sharks' narrative this year is acknowledging that the reality of the situation has not been the same as what the numbers are. And like he said, that their penalty kill has been playing better as of lately. And I thought they did look good at various moments last night against the Avalanche. That's obviously a tough job. But I think that the numbers, when you get into them with the Sharks this year, are going to be very much different than reality. And that's just the way it goes when you're not a great team. You have, you know, performances that skew things one way versus another. But again, I didn't have any issue with the way the Sharks penalty kill was playing last night, particularly, you know, on the situation in the first period where they've got the 5-minute major they've got to kill off. And like Mario said, it comes down to the last 30 seconds. I would rather it come down to the last 30 seconds, especially on a major. It's not like where you give one up, you're getting a guy back out there. You've got to go throughout the entirety of that 5 minutes and just continue to skate your tail off, and they did that. I thought the penalty kill, like you said, it was buzzing. It's just, you give a team like Colorado 5 minutes, they are going to find a way. They're going to score when all is said and done, in my opinion, unless things go exceptionally well. And the Sharks, you know, did 90% of the work they needed to do. It was those last 30 seconds which came back to bite them. Ferraro also weighed in on MacKinnon and the rest of that offensive firepower of the Avs.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty tough. It's tough any team that you give a lot of power plays like that early on. You know, he's obviously a guy that's always going to be flying, and a guy that you got to be aware of, him and Rantanen, and obviously Nichushkin now on that, you know, that line as well. It's a dangerous line, but I thought for the most part, you know, maybe had they not had 9 minutes of penalties there at the beginning of the game, you know, maybe could have been a different game. But like I said, you can't really change what happened. And, you know, tip your hat to the way that they've been playing as of late. And, you know, they look good out there tonight.
And Ferraro was asked about if there was any message in between the first and second periods in which the Sharks looked to be playing much, much better overall. And clearly the penalties in the first period did not appear the same way that we saw, at least in terms of impact.
Yeah, you know, it was just about, you know, being better. And, you know, we know that they're a team that their D like to join the rush, and they're very good at delaying and hitting the late guys. And I think that was the emphasis, is when turnovers happened, to make sure to stay above their guys coming up the ice and not let them get those second, third chances. And I thought we did a better job of that. You know, there's areas that we could have done better throughout the whole game, I think. It wasn't our best performance, but, you know, I like our compete and our hard work. And despite it, you know, getting down 3-0 early, showing some good power play chances that we had and some good fight back. Like I said, it's unfortunate the way it went and the way it started, but it is what it is, and we've got to move on and try to improve.
We also heard from Jack Studnicka after last night's game. Of course, the recent trade acquisition by the Sharks helping them out in that center position in which they seemingly are very banged up this year. We heard head coach David Quinn the other day saying that if the Sharks are taking injuries, it seems to be consistently at that center in position. This is what Studnicka had to say about what's been a busy last couple of days and the game.
I thought it was a tough way to start the game, trying to kill a five, but I think the PK actually did a really good job on that. Yeah, that's a good hockey team over there. So we got to be better, but it was definitely fun to wear that jersey.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. It was fun to wear that jersey. I thought that was a neat thing to hear. I thought that was a cool thing for him to say. He was also asked to evaluate his game.
Just okay. I didn't really have my legs. It's kind of been a whirlwind. It's no excuse, but it's been a lot of travel recently. Some okay moments, some good moments, some moments I got to work on. But no, like I said, it was a lot of fun.
So I like that attitude. Also wanted to give you a little taste of my chat with Brett Hedekin yesterday. If you want to get the whole interview, check out the build-up game 31 versus Colorado. And just from your D-man perspective, Henry Thrun is getting another chance with the Sharks right now. You know, previously when I had been to some of the Barracuda game, I'd seen more of his offensive game, playing the point on the power play, things of that nature. But against Winnipeg, he was out there for some big kills and some big moments in that game on the defensive side of things. And I was impressed. He had a couple of good closeouts. And it's funny, Hedy, you talk to him, and it's one of those things where it's like, man, this guy is he's young. He looks like a kid right out of college, but he's playing some in my opinion, decent hockey.
He is. I agree. I think he's grown a little bit playing with the Barracuda and getting some real quality minutes there, and then being recalled now and really looking sharp. I liked his game here the last few that he's played. And as you mentioned, that Winnipeg game, played a lot of heavy minutes. He played some critical times during the course of that game, killed some penalties, as you talked about. So I like his progression. I think he's going to continue to grow. I think the NHL is probably the best place for him to continue to grow. Although, you know, if he needs to get sent, you know, to the minors again and for a little bit, I think it, as long as he looks at it as another way to grow and get better, I think he's going to, and he's a smart kid, right? I mean, put a Harvard, not being a sharp kid, and he is. So I'm looking forward to seeing him continue to improve.
And I also asked Hedy about the stark improvements that the Sharks have made since the start of the year.
Well, they've made huge strides. And I think I got to give this coaching staff a lot of credit as well. I think they've done a nice job. I think early in the year, the power play wasn't doing what it should. I think the penalty kill at time has struggled clearly at the start of the year. And lately it's given up a few here and there, but I think they've played much better, just haven't gotten the results. I mean, they went 5-for-5 a few nights back. And I think that was one of the ones that really was, for me, it proved that the work that they've been putting in is starting to take effect. Now, you know, with guys like Logan Couture out all year, he's been a penalty killer his whole career pretty much, and a great one. And for him to be out, other guys have had to kind of fill that role. But getting back to the coaching staff and what they've done to kind of help the specialty teams, and what David Quinn has done to kind of settle this group down, hold guys accountable. It's very hard as a head coach to walk this line of, you know, not winning games at the start of the year, but still trying to coach and coach players up, and then also hold guys accountable that weren't pulling their weight. And I think he's had to walk a tightrope there, and I think he's done a, you know, marvelous job of doing it and pulling guys out of the lineup when he should and when he can, because he can't do it every night. You just you got to let guys kind of play out of it, and if they can't play out of it and he gives them a warning, then he's got to sit them out, because every other guy is seeing what's going on that bench and who plays and who doesn't and who's pulling their weight. And I think David Quinn has done a masterful job.
All right, we are just about out of time. Be sure to join us on Tuesday on the Build Up Morning Skate and Teal Report as we get you ready for the Sharks to host the Kings. The first meeting between these two teams this year. Like I said earlier, when we took on Detroit, I love the idea of that rivalry being reborn. I love the idea of the Sharks and Kings rivalry being reborn. So let's see if we can get some bad blood going again between the Sharks and the Kings. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.